Recording. You do.
Talk shoes.
Recorded live.
Welcome to Living with Cancer. This is Roz Treiber, a cancer survivor and happy lady who wants to share with others and inspire others who have cancer or who have taken care of cancer patients how to experience joy and thrive when faced with adversity. I want to help people to live and attend to their body, mind, and spirit to heal completely. So tonight I want to welcome Brad Tolson, who is an incredible graphic artist and videographer who will make your life beautiful, no matter what you look like, who has also experienced cancer, and he is going to share with us many, many wisdoms that he would like others to know about. Welcome, Brad.
Hi, Roz. How you doing?
Great. And it is such a pleasure to have you on this line and that we're going to be able to share with so many people as we go forward. So I would like to ask you a couple of questions and to see how it is that you have been such an inspiration to me and to others and how you have managed to cope with cancer. Can you tell us just what kind of cancer you have or had and how that impacted your life?
Sure. Roz, I kind of came into that backwards, kind of the same way I do everything else in my life. My wife, who's a midwife, noticed a lump on the side of my throat and said, yeah, hey, you know, maybe you ought to go get that looked at. And I went in and they did a TSH, found that there was abnormal readings high. And so they said, well, something's going on there. So they biopsied and found that we can't tell what's going on there, but it's big enough that, you know, you've got some choices to make. It's big enough that I'd think about doing something about it, but you've got many options. And I said, well, let's go ahead and take it out and then figure out everything afterwards. Well, it wasn't until it was taken out that I found out that I had thyroid cancer, and I guess the I'm not very versed in it. It was the second worst kind you can have instead of the first worst. Sorry, my pug's got to get out there. So anyway, I had a complete thyroidectomy and then radiation therapy follow-up, and then, you know, I wasn't until after it was out that they said, hey, good thing, it was cancer. So So I guess before that happened, I'm make digital media, and so I've been building media for cancer support groups, primarily prostate cancer survivor groups, for several years. And it was kind of ironic that all of a sudden I found out that I too had cancer, and it changed my perspective a lot on how to build media for cancer survivors. So.
And could you share that a little bit with us?
Yeah, sure. I work with a partner, and we primarily work with prostate cancer survivor groups and the doctors who work with them. And we've been trying to figure out how to build media that would allow survivors of cancer that typically form really powerful groups and fairly opinionated groups that then have a hard time actually, you know, working with afterwards a lot of the physicians that they have worked through their cancer with. It's really hard. They become equally, versed in a lot of they have knowledge, I think, that both groups, you know, it's hard won knowledge, and it's really hard to reconnoiter those two sides of different points of view. So we've been trying to figure out how to build media that will allow prostate cancer survivors to work more productively with the physicians,
with the healthcare team.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you say that has a lot to do with ego and with the patient themselves accepting what they have and the doctor, the physician's team, not able to deal with being a failure if it didn't work, that kind of a thing, and also looking at how can the patient know as much as I do that kind of a thing. I find that in the cancer groups that I'm at, regardless what kind of cancer it is, many of the physicians don't take the attitude of, we will be a team and work this together. Then there are groups that do, and I think perhaps, you know, as you go through this challenge is to find doctors who do work with patients as teams so that you can build that media.
Very high-stakes arena, you know? And
yes.
And so I'm always looking for folks who are articulate enough on both ends to kind of come out with something that the rest of us can look at and go, oh, okay, that's what's going on. And I found a person that I feel compelled to I think we talked about it the first time we met each other, Roz, was this Miriam, and I'm going to get this all wrong, but it was the book that inspired, while I was sitting there waiting for my treatment, and I was dumb, you know, completely had no idea I had cancer, but because I was working with cancer support groups, I picked up a book that called, the things that I liked about it was it was a very thin book, and I had on my bookmarks on my computer already, you know, linked as my thyroid hobby, I called my...
Right, good.
What do you mean, I'll call it cancer, so I said thyroid hobby, and this was the first piece of media that I ran into that I thought, well, this makes sense to me, and Miriam Engelberg is a graphics artist and kind of a comic, makes comics, and she built a comic called Cancer Made Me a Shallower Person, and I just thought, there you go, that's the title I'm looking for.
Well, you see that, and that was your own sense of humor coming in to help you cope with that and how you could move forward. I would like to ask you something that has been on my mind since I actually got this pancreatic cancer and have been involved with lots of cancer patients since then and reading quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Your attitude or your feelings about curing and healing, how do you approach that? Do you differentiate between healing and curing? How does that affect your quality of life?
Well, just the words themselves, I always just react to the words. And, you know, to me, curing is something, we often done to meet. And healing has everything to do with human beings. And because, curing is somehow, to me, focused on the end. The ends and whatever means will reach the ends, and that's never worked for me in any part of my life. And the healing is more like that. It's an over and over and over and over again thing, and that's for me what it's all about is trying to figure out how you're going to reach whatever the end of this cycle is that you're in. And you're going to go into the next, and somehow you'd like that to be, you always like that to be more controlled than it ever will be. But maybe it's just the mastery of or the going with the ebb and flow of what's going on. And that's, I think, the woman who wrote Cancer Made Me a Shallower Person, I think I just discovered her blog on the web, and it literally has her last entry was it's on here at August 22nd, 2006, and she's saying, my current project is I'm going to try to do some watercolors today, but it eats into my TV court show time. And the day before, she watched a horror movie because, a friend sent her The Thing, John Carpenter, a goopy John Carpenter movie, and she just says, the problem is no movie is as scary as cancer. So, So dealing with the Sisyphus part of life that says, you're gonna go through this cycle. It's gonna be over and over again. Helps me remind me that that it ain't over yet, And thank
exactly.
God.
Exactly. I like the way you put the curing to the ends and the butts and stuff like that. Where healing to me is talking about the whole person and being whole in terms of accepting what comes along and it isn't over yet, and that we can attend to being present and making the best of every moment that we have in our minds, in our bodies, in our souls, and that we are totally present with each person in each moment, and it makes us feel good. And whether it's a negative situation or a positive situation, we have that awareness, and it's okay. It's okay to be scared. It's okay not to be scared. And I think that that is an important concept, that we don't worry about the cure, that we worry about this ebb and flow, or not worry, but accept it and revel in it, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. And I try to help other people, should I say, get rid of some of the fear of having cancer, or just the word of it, and that we have it, but it doesn't have to have us. And that we can make the best of every moment, and the decisions we make are those that will enhance or enrich our lives with whomever we interact with. How do you feel about that?
I like that. I mean, because curing to me, that there's some sense also in that you're, you know, being cured from. And my question is, like, from what? Okay, from cancer.
Exactly.
Maybe this week, but it's like. So the whole idea a lot of the prostate cancer survivors, I have said that they were looking for a word that was somehow more proactive than survivor. And they were thinking about things, words like conquistador, mm-hmm. anywhere from, you know, conquest, and these are guys, so, you know, they're going
yes.
all sorts of that stuff. But I was thinking myself as they were saying that, well, yeah, proactive. But there was a movie once that really struck me. It was called Jacob's Ladder, where this guy, you know, the whole movie is about this guy saying, oh, I'm seeing devils and I'm seeing
mm-hmm.
angels everywhere.
It's biblically related.
And at the end, he found out that he'd already died.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, his chiropractor is saying to him, well, you know, some people say that whenever you struggle against something, you perceive everything as either it's against you or it's for you. And in fact, it's probably not, you know, and it's
mm-hmm.
not a fight, a war against cancer. To me, sounds just as wrong as a war against anything. So,
exactly.
So
exactly.
I know, you know, it's high stakes arena, and it's majorly charged, and it is from the words of some of the most brave people in the world, scarier than the thing, you know.
But we get through that scare, do we not?
I'm sorry?
We get through that scare. We're able to push through it.
I think we need really powerful people that we give power around us, because it takes more than I think any one person when you are in the throes of whatever the cycle is, you know, wherever you are in the cycle, it's something you could wake up and suddenly go, I remember when my wife was having our daughter at, you know, 19 hours into her pregnancy, and
mm-hmm.
this is the woman I said now is a midwife and has delivered about 1,000 babies herself. She looked at me and I said, are you doing okay? And she said, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. And I said, well, this is not what I signed up for. I thought for sure you'd know whether you could do this or not. She said, well,
until you walk in those shoes.
And so the thing is, an hour later, our daughter happened. But before that, it was like, holy cow.
Right.
I thought this was manageable. And suddenly we're in this situation where we don't know. And the person I trust most on the planet says to me, I'm not sure we can pull this off. I'm like, what? So it took more than us for that to come
yes.
through, or, you know, for that to come through, and then that person, the involved person, that's the thing that's lost on me. She now makes her career of doing that over and over again for other people.
It's incredible what you say, because I have interviewed lots of people who have had cancer or living with it. And the thread that goes through all these interviews that I have done is the one of the toughest challenges is to let go and accept help from others, and what is that loss of independence. And at the same time, none of us can make it through alone. We need that support and that love from our families, our friends, those people who really care about us, because that energy is what gets us through that confidence, that encouragement, and that faith, because we can't do it alone. And that scare, those fears, they could overpower us, and we really don't want to give cancer more power than it deserves. And so we need each other so that we can make it. And there, I have been on a cyber list for pancreatic cancer, a listserv, and the love and the encouragement and the caring from perfect strangers from around the world sharing some of their stories of the incredible challenges that all of us go through is what has gotten people through some of the most horrendous moments. So, yes, we do need to be able to be with each other in many different ways. I would like to ask you, because you are a holistic person and you live with a holistic approach, wife, have you made what would be considered any unconventional choices that were not, would not be recommended by mainstream in how you have dealt with your cancer? I mean, I realize that, you know, you did standard treatment in terms of surgery and they did radiation.
Right.
Anything else that the doctors would not generally recommend?
Well, I looked at all the stuff as soon as I found out that, oh, gosh, this is cancer. And the first year, of course, after the radiation, I didn't know which way it was going to go. And they said, well, you look clean. And, you know, my surgeon was a mother of two and the most amazing woman I'd run into that was going to do a job for me for a long time. And, you know, and she said, you're clean. I'm positive we did it. We got it.
Great.
And through that, I was thinking, okay, well, all I want is to not be damaged too much by the radiation, because I wouldn't call myself a holistic person, But I was thinking, you know, I don't want all of the iatrogenic
effects,
physician caused stuff that goes through a treatment. So I found out, I went to a website that I can't even remember now. That's how much it's the thyroid cancer. It's Thyca. It's called Thyca. And went there and they said, well, you know, the nice thing is you have all the information from all of the people who have gone through that and are willing to share. And this one person said, well, you know, my tear ducts really got wiped out by the radiation. So to really think about that and really take care of yourself in that arena. And the weird thing is, see, we all, I think, lock on to focusers that you know, for whatever reason, that's important to us. And mine, oddly enough, was, well, by gosh, I'm not going to lose my tear ducts. I'm going to really take care of those. And that made sense to me, that I'm going to make sure that part is, you know, it's like when I bought my house, I looked and all I thought, I know nothing about houses, but I just said, you know, it has to have a nice roof. That's
right.
That's the important thing for me. And then I know it's a good house. Well, anyway, so save your tear ducts, and I started taking a thing called TheraTears, which they suggested, well, oh, great, it's going to give you a nice, juicy tear duct, so you'll be okay. The long and short was that when I found out that, okay, great, you are quite probably going to, you've dodged your cancer, you're okay. Well, the other thing that I had found out about was that I have a extremely high cholesterol level. So the odd thing was that the TheraTears, they said, and this is the kind of knowledge that's in all of these support group sites, the guy said, well, I noticed that when I started giving my husband the TheraTears, it not only saved his tear ducts, but a year later had dropped his cholesterol level by 150 points.
Incredible.
So that's weird. So I thought, well, I'll just do the TheraTears for a year just to see what's going on. And it did the same for me. Now, the odd thing was that then I started to get, you know, think I was going to be clever, and I looked at all the active ingredients and said, well, great, it's omega-3s and it's flax oil, and I'll just get those two and, you know, take those separately,
right,
and I'll save myself some money too.
Uh-huh.
Next year later, I find out that no, you dodged, no, you know, you're back, your cholesterol
back to where you were.
And I think it's, I take it as a sign of we all think that the power is in the information and that we can be smarter than the information and say,
mm-hmm,
great, well, I've taken the ferroteres and dissected its parts, and by gosh, if I take this parts, I'll save myself some money and get the cure, and it didn't happen. So
okay,
my feeling is sometimes, you know, information is not always
accurate.
Yeah, well, it's not always empowering. It's not always it's not gonna get you to the higher level. Just being
right,
smart. Just being smart. You know, it's.
Mm-hmm.
Take,
no, there's much more to it than that, which leads me to my very next question. So do you feel your thoughts play a role in your healing?
Gosh, at one time I would say, I hope not, but absolutely it does. And I think that your thoughts, that the flow and what you start to see how the dots connect,
mm-hmm,
I think are very in sync with where you are in the world, both physically and every other way. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely, because if for those people who are avid readers, who are open to new ideas and investigate in the Zen tradition, should I say, or Eastern philosophies, there is much research that demonstrates that there is healing power of the mind, and our thoughts color our experiences. So depending on what we pay attention to, and if our thoughts dictate to us rather than we can let the thoughts go and just accept what's happening, we can have different effects, and our bodies can respond differently. So our thoughts play a role either in a positive or a negative way, and our being aware of that may change our behavior sometimes. So yes, I agree with you that, you know, one day we may feel one way and the next day, you know, we need to stand back and take a look from, you know, behind the scenes, should I say.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people that are support and caregivers for people who have cancer are kind of, you know, always wondering what kind of thoughts they should and shouldn't share. And one thing that struck me in the Cancer Made Me a Shallower Person book was that these cartoons on one page, the one that hit me right between the eyes because I'd been doing this kind of work was,
mm-hmm,
was she said, you know, what really bugs me, and of course, again, this comic book is she converts, she has breast cancer, she converts her waiting room time, this is,
uh-huh,
brilliant, everybody. She converted her waiting room time to what she does, which is she makes comic books. So she made a comic book of her journey, right, through the
right,
all those waiting rooms. Well, the thing is, just to let you know, I forgot, some people don't know that this did not save this woman from cancer.
Right.
3 years later, I think, she died of cancer. So it didn't save her, but, you know, it made her, it allowed her to you know, share that journey a lot
exactly,
more than she had not done the book and converted it to good time. But this one page said, you know how you go into your waiting room and you always look and you're waiting and you're scared to death and you're sitting there and you look and there's a glossy color covered something. It's a brochure,
uh-huh,
that has, she says, usually has dolphins on the cover, and it's glossy and it says, "You and Something Awful." That's the title. And she said, you know, I just. Oh, that always freaked me out. So I was thinking that using affirmations, I'd love to know how to do that better because they've never really worked for me. And so having an affirming thing that says, "Hey, it's going to be okay," when we don't know if it's going to be okay, doesn't help me at all. And I think I really laughed at that in her book, because after I read that, my own thing, we started to change our perspective on building media for prostate cancer or for cancer survivors after that, because we kind of realized, yeah, that's kind of what we're doing too. We're putting a little bit of too much of a blunted
spin.
This media is, the thoughts involved, if they're straightforward, honest thoughts, not just separating the scary thoughts from the
right. Because it's really a balance between the scary and the not scary. And how we accept that, and we don't need to say everything's going to be hunky-dory when indeed it isn't.
Yeah.
And it's being able to accept that, it's a pretty crummy day. And this is pretty crummy, but it doesn't mean that I can't get through it.
Yep.
And that's the other thing I have found, is that we don't worry so much about the cure. It's so much as the getting the strength to be able to get through the crummy day or the moment that is painful, but it doesn't mean that we make a life that is so negative that we really destroy our own healing process within. So it's not all one-sided. When there's negativity, we can grow from that as well. But it doesn't mean that we aren't going to live a life that can be acceptable and even have joy in it.
You had really nice techniques the first time I met you, Roz, when you were at a prostate cancer survivors conference, and you had a couple. If you want to go there right now, remember you had a couple things that got people out of butt thinking. Or
oh yes, I called it kick butt.
Uh huh.
And stop objecting to everything.
Uh-huh.
And start saying yes and just go on from where you are and just build from there. And discover where it will take you. And this helps. It certainly helped me and a lot of people who have been in negative situations. When accept it, let's get, we're not going to object to it. We're going to do what we can do with it and do the best that we can. And it makes life a lot easier, truthfully. And
yes.
It really does take away that pressure of the stress.
And I noticed, I remembered that primary audience were physicians, and at one point there you had at least one or two people up there that could not do anything but.
Yes,
that is
correct.
Yep, and I thought to myself, I never really realized that one of the issues is that you've got providers of care, and they have probably the strongest butt system in the world, because they have to.
They really do. I mean, there's so much that people like us need to do to help educate other patients so that they can handle the doctor world, because they are a tough bunch, and there needs to be a bridge so that the patient can feel comfortable as well and feel that they're getting their needs met as well. So we have, a major job to do in the kind of work that we do. And I would like to ask you one question before we have to close, because I only reserved a half an hour.
You bet.
What role did prayer or humor play in your, currently in your quality of life now? Because you are certainly functioning and being productive and loving and kind. Did humor or prayer play a role?
Very interesting. I prayer and humor together. The commonality I see between those two suddenly when you put it that way is that both happen when you're in a frame of mind that you really have to let go of control somehow, and you either look up or you look out to your audience, whoever you perceive that audience to be at the moment, and you say something that you don't know quite what you're going to say next. And if you do that, and if you do it gracefully in the situation that is an audience, you get a good laugh. You get a release.
And that's a key word, that release, so that we can have emotional distance and have confidence in ourselves and in faith, and we just, you know, accept the next moment and the next day. Our time is just about up, and I would like to thank you, Brad, for sharing some very, very personal views and certainly views of many. And I know that a lot of people are going to get to hear our interview this evening, or they'll hear it another time, but they will hear it and learn and grow from it, and hopefully that we will do a return engagement. And if there's one thing you would like other patients to know that you would like to share that you haven't said yet.
It's been a pleasure, Roz, and I'd say go to Cancer Rocks and check out Roz Trebier and Bernie.
Well, I thank you, and we will do lots more sharing and growing and helping those who need to be inspired and to know life, you know, is perfect as it is. Take care, and we'll be in touch.
Take care, Roz.
Thank you very much. We'll hear this soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.